But it's a thrill, once again, to just welcome our live stream audience. My name is Paul Harmon. I'm the pastor of Hope Chapel. And it's a beautiful setting here on Easter Sunday, downtown Huntington Beach. And man, we always kind of pinch ourselves. Do we actually live here in Orange County, don't we? It's like, what? What? Felt like we were in heaven, and we're grateful for that. Well, I want to just make sure if you get a chance, you were handed, we call it our bulletin card. So please make sure you get a chance to take a look at that. Today's message is actually listed there, and we encourage people to take notes. You'll see there's a possibility of even a pen there that you can just write something down. Let's just believe that the Lord might speak something to you personally, or as I always do, man, my neighbor needs to hear this. I'll write it down for him. You know how that is, right? Never for us. It's always for the other guy. Man, they need to hear that. Now, you know Easter's all about the resurrection and the importance of that. So it's been fun when we get a chance to come across people. Do you believe in the resurrection? Came across a lady who said, oh, yeah, Pastor Paul, I believe in the resurrection and life after death. I said, you do? Yeah, my four husbands have helped me come to that understanding. Oh, wow, how does that work? Well, my first husband, I married a millionaire. My second husband was an actor. My third husband, well, that person was a minister, and I'm currently married to an undertaker. I said, well, no way. How does that one work? Well, it just goes like this. One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. You go ahead and tell your neighbor, what did he just say? Hello. You know, I was a printer for Jesus and family-owned printing business in Pasadena on Fair Oaks Avenue, Walnut and Fair Oaks, right there across the street from Ralph M. Parsons' construction firm. And then Jesus called me out of that. But it was fun because people would say, well, I don't know if I believe in the resurrection. I said, you need to come to our shop right there, 140 North Fair Oaks, because right about quitting time, there's a resurrection from the dead. Do that. But I want to take a look here. We are dealing with, naturally, Easter. And so today, the message is our need for Easter. That's our message today. And before we even begin, let's just thank the Lord for what we've enjoyed singing and our exposure to the presence of the Lord, because he's here right now. So, Father, we thank you for just sending your son, Jesus. And so many of us have had a personal encounter. So, Lord, we not only just pray for your welcomed presence, but Lord, for those who are with us right now, many of them far distances, not able to be with us, move in their setting, speak to their hearts as well, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's interesting, we take a look at the word Easter. There's oftentimes people say, well, why Easter? What does Easter mean? And I want to just take a journey with you on that. I want to talk a story with you. And it's interesting because biblically, you know, the Jewish nation talks stories. If you were to read the book of Esther, Esther has a story there. And that's how God delivered an entire nation. That's called the Feast of Purim. And they still study and enjoy that, how God delivered them. And when we take a look at the story of Easter or our need for Easter today, we're talking about how God delivered an entire planet, an entire world. That's important for us. So I want to have this opportunity for us just to dialogue as if we were around a good meal and we start saying and sharing what God has done for our family, what God has done for individuals in this room. It's really an important thing, our need for Easter, because there are still some people that are still kind of only seeing Easter from the aspect of maybe a good bunny or maybe a few eggs. But for you and I who have engaged God, then we know the beauty of what Easter means. So as we take a look here, here's one of our first points we want to deal with. Easter reminds us of the reason. Let's take a look here for a moment. I'm going to open my Bible to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And we want to remind ourselves, this Bible, there's something that's so wonderfully unique and rich about it. First of all, this Bible was written by 40 different authors. Many of them never even knew the other existed. But the Bible so clearly describes often, especially in 2 Timothy 3:16, that God spoke to men, breathed inspiration, and they wrote as the Holy Spirit moved upon them. So we could literally say God wrote this book, and there's evidence of that because this book contains prophecy, predictive prophecies, thousands of them, and about Jesus, 300 specifically about one life. So that's unique about this book. That's unique about this book because there's about 26 other religious books out there that are claiming it is the Word of God, but this one has predictive prophecies. We always want to remember that. This book has the ability to share what is going to happen in the future, and nobody really knows that except God himself. And so when we deal with this, how God wrote the Word using 40 different authors. And it's an amazing thing. And we know as the beginning of the book called Genesis, and that's what it means, the beginning, that's what Genesis means. When God made everything in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, the Bible says, the very last verse, that God looked it all over and said, you know what? That's very good. It's very good. So it's important we deal with our first point, how Easter reminds us of the reason, because if you look at your notes, where did the problem then start? When did that problem start? Well, naturally, it started with the first family, or we could say the first couple, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, talk about a great gig. God says, you go ahead and enjoy this entire garden in Eden, the Garden of Eden, and you enjoy it. You name all the plant life, animals. You have everything you want. I give you dominion over this world. But make sure you just stay away from this one particular tree. That's all I'm asking. And you know, the Bible, as you read, they could not. It's called disobedience. They disobeyed God, and what we know as sin entered in. Now, you and I don't know what it is to be in a state of perfection or state of purity. We don't know that because we were born into sin. Now let's take a look because we're talking about the need for Easter. And let's look here at Romans chapter 5, verse 12, because it starts to bring in some things. When Adam, it says, sinned and sin entered the world, Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Now it's pretty clear on that one. And it's important for us to recognize because Genesis brings in a lot of clarity. Why we are the way we are. You can imagine, how come we have clothes on? The book of Genesis. Where did all the languages come from? The book of Genesis. Where did death start? The book of Genesis. So it's important for us to take a look at that because you can imagine anything that says maybe we evolved, that's an assault against the layout of the beginning of everything. So it's important for us to recognize, boy, the Bible gives a great clarity on that. But especially, where did sin come from? And we don't know the difference of a non-sin environment because that's all we've ever known. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when that element of sin is pulled out? Wow. But we've been born into sin. It comes so easily for us. If unchecked, man, you can imagine. So where did it all start? Right there. And if you were to look at another point, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, literally says this. It says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So we're talking about our need for Easter. It's important for us to tell the story. Why do people hurt other people? Hey, here it is. We just find it so easy to do wrong. It's in our nature. We've all sinned. But the bummer is we fall short of what God really wants us to enjoy and to journey in. Now, you take a look at your notes there. So what were the consequences? What were the consequences? As our story unfolds, you recognize in the book of Genesis chapter 3, that's where we have where sin came in, basically the cause of sin. And then chapter 4 of Genesis, we call it the fruit of sin. That's where the first family, we have Cain gets a little jealous, and he just doesn't like fuss out his brother in a little spat. He kills his brother Abel, the fruit of sin. So you can see here, man, our need for Easter, who's going to come through and help us? But Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 says this. It says, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. And because your sins, he has turned away and will not listen to you anymore. Now, that's pretty all-encompassing. Some of you, I remember it was like that for me when I didn't really experience God. Oh, I knew a church setting. But man, this book is closed off to people that have not really experienced Jesus. It's kind of like reading the Wall Street Journal. It's like, bleh. But we see what Isaiah says. Something called sin cuts us off from God. That's probably why we may not have originally been even interested in the Lord. Something called sin said, I'm doing fine without him. We don't know anything different. We can't really hear or see him. But I'll tell you, hang out with Christians, like you have a setting here today. And these Christians get so excited about something, like, what is going on? I remember that was such an eye-opener for me, going in from my upbringing as a little person, realizing these people just seem so genuine. Because I didn't have that growing up. We just kind of like did our thing. So when you come across Christians that have been radically introduced to God, who wants to take us back there to an original setting, it's pretty amazing. I like the fact in Romans chapter 6, 23, as our story about our need for Easter unfolds. Take a look at Romans 6, 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You start to see now the story starts to unfold. Take a look at that scripture, because it says the wages of sin is death. Just like you hardworking U.S. American citizens and anybody here visiting by reason of another nation, good job. It's interesting to note here that the state of California says you work so many hours, you earn a wage of pay. Now, that's man's law. But God's law here says if we decide we want to live in sin and then die in sin, check it out with me. It says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, and I like that word, but, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everybody by now has heard what Jesus has done. We don't have to go through it and relive it and read about it. We're just saying, man, what did he accomplish for me? I'm all into what it is for me to enjoy. The gift of God is what? Is what? It's eternal life. I'm telling you, that is a gift. That is a gift. And anything you or I do to receive eternal life, it stops being a gift. It's now something that you earned. And you and I know that's not true. If there was any other way for you to earn heaven, then Jesus would not have had to come. Amen. You could have done it on your own. But you already know how incapable at least your friends and family are. So it's important for us to need our reality. We need Jesus to come. And it's a gift. It's a gift. So therefore, it's something that God just offers everybody. We're talking about a story where God influences all of the world. And it's important that we get a chance to see that, because there's two kinds of death. There's physical death and there's a spiritual death. And there's a lot of people out in our society that just don't seem to get you being so excited about like going to church and God. They're walking in a dead zone. You can literally see them sometimes on Main Street. It's like, man, I thought this zombie apocalypse wasn't real. But they need Jesus. And they need to have something that happens. Let's take a look at number two. Easter reminds us of God's ransom. Now, that's important, because if you were to read the Bible and see in the Old Testament with us this year, you recognize that God set up an elaborate system, what we would say is animal sacrifice. And it's kind of like gross. But God was saying, I don't want to sacrifice humans. I want to save them. But somebody has to pay the price. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to lay out some animals that are going to give their life so that we cover you and your guilt until the one who will come comes. It's kind of like you and I on death row, and somebody keeps coming in, holding back that death sentence, saying there's a promissory note. Somebody's going to come and clean it all up. Promissory note. The Jewish nation calls that the Day of Atonement. They still do that every year. Or Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It goes all the way back to the books where Moses was a part of that. We take a look now, and we see, man, oh man, when we deal with that, something would have to happen. In our notes, you can see justice requires a punishment. We don't get a chance to get off free. If you've ever been hurt by somebody's sinful conduct, you know it probably grieves God. He didn't want that. That's not into his playbook. If you've ever done that for others and you say, it didn't bother me, I bet it did. That it hurts that we would cause somebody else pain. I like what Mark chapter 10 says in verse 45. It says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's our beautiful element of our need for Easter, a ransom for many. So the Bible really is, let's just put it this way, I love the word. The Bible really is a love story. It's a love story. And it's all about you and God. It really is, cover to cover, about what God is doing, an elaborate scheme to show our need for him, and I really believe his longing for you. It's a love story. Why would you not want to read this? This is like beautiful love letters from God to you. He's speaking to you. It's an amazing thing that people say, well, if God would just kind of like talk to me. Well, here it is. It's an amazing book, and it's an amazing way that he does that. But I love the love of God. I just love love anyway. It's just a lot of fun, huh? I'm not a hater. I'm a lover. Anyway, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. But look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4:10 says, this is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Wow. Can't get any clearer than that. It's an amazing thing. We look at our notes. It says Jesus' death on the cross was the ransom for our sin. That's really important. Our need for Easter. We sit around a table and say, man, just tell me to good old story of Easter. Here it is. It's significant. If you look here with me at Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, lays it out pretty clearly about you and me. It says, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the, everybody say cross. Yeah. Where did that sin go? On the cross. It really did. That sin of yours, that sin of humanity, both past and present and future, God knew who's going to do what, when, and where, because he made us all. He said, man, I'm going to nail that one too on the cross. It's important for us to recognize that. That's why we celebrate. We had a great, outstanding Good Friday. Reminds us of Jesus going to the cross for us. And thank you, seven great speakers that really spoke on the seven last sayings of Jesus on the cross. Man, check it out on the archives of us. It'll be wonderful. But you look at your notes, the resurrection was the proof. The resurrection was the proof. You know, it's amazing, Jesus is the first of many. We will all have a resurrection, every one of us. There'll be, the Bible says, some the resurrection of the just and some the unjust. And it's an important season in our life, in your life, because this life of yours determines where you're going to spend that eternity. That's an important thing. That needs to be like clearly laid out. And you know, it's going to be important for us to recognize, man, do I want a life or eternal life? It's going to be significant, that final journey. Number three, Easter reminds us of a restored relationship. I really want everybody to have something of a, hey, God is like my main thing. It's really pretty neat. But that restored relationship, check it out with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, says this, God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And he has invited you into a partnership with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I like that word, partnership. It's pretty wonderful when you get a chance to see how that God says, man, I don't want to go it alone. I want you with it together again. In the book of Genesis, God says, I give mankind dominion over all planet. All planet, you have dominion. Let's work this one out together. If you look at our notes here, we're invited into a relational experience. That's important for us. So when we deal with that element, let's look here for a moment, Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Remember, God was all about making sure if anything cut into his relationship with you, I'm going to tell you, God's pretty determined to try to give as much time as he possibly can for every person to come to the reality that, man, God loves them, that God wants them. That's why he's extending such longevity in so many of our lives. He knew when Adam and Eve blew it, you just write down Genesis 3:15. It's there, the first promise of Jesus. When he said, the seed of the woman will crush that serpent's head. Boom. And lo and behold, little Mary gives birth to the Messiah. Ooh, I like Christmas. We'll just throw that one in there. But it's important we get a chance here. We look here at Romans chapter 5, verse 10. It says, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. It's pretty powerful. Pretty great when we get a chance to see that. The note says, again, on your note outline, we are invited to accept Jesus and his ransom. That's pretty exciting to be able to do that. There's something about God and his generosity. I think he welcomes people's independence. Call it the free choice. Man, you can or cannot. God just gives you that gift, yes or no. But there's something about it because there are oftentimes people will say, I think, man, God's going to save everybody. He did. And it could be a little bit narrow looking, right? It's like, that's why I don't like this Christian stuff. It's like, man, it's like this way or the highway. But listen, God opens the door for everybody. No one's exempt. That's why when we see here in John chapter 1, verse 12, God says it's important for us to receive. Check it out. I like when the word of God speaks, don't you? Doesn't it make sense? Like, wow, it does say that. But it says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth, but a birth that comes from God. So that element, like a gift, it's going to be important for us to be able to say, I receive him. I receive what he has done, and it's going to be important for us. So when we look here on our notes, we are invited to follow Jesus in this life. And I think that's been an enjoyable element of my life. That's where I want people to say, man, why? How's it going with your walk? Which means, how are you doing following God these days? That's how Christians kind of talk. You know what I mean? It's like, how's your walk going, man? You know, it's amazing in John chapter 10, verse 27. Check out what Jesus says. He said, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Isn't that amazing? He lived and spoke to an agricultural society, so everybody knew the shepherd and his little flock relationship. But there's something there when Jesus is speaking, because Jesus is talking about, I know them. They know me, and my voice, they won't follow anyone else. And it's an interesting thing when we get a chance, because remember when Jesus was calling his disciples to Sea of Galilee? He said, yo, come follow me. And they dropped their nets and followed him. Some people, I find, they'll still say, yo, Jesus, you come follow me. There's a difference in approach how we go with God. And I'm telling you, can I just encourage you? We're talking that relationship. You can hear the voice of God. Just schedule some time. Just say, Lord, I need to hear from you. I really need to hear from you. I'm hearing from everything else. I'm reading from everything else. And it's all disturbing stuff. Just pause. You'll hear the voice of God. He's probably speaking to so many of you to say, get to Hope Chapel on Easter morning. Yay, God. Good job. You listened. You're here. So we deal with this. Let's look at, finally, number four. Easter reminds us of our future residence. I like that. I want to open to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 is one of my favorite portions when I do a celebration of life, a funeral. And I've done a lot of them. I like them very much when I know we have a Christian that we're sending off on their graduation day. It bums me out. It really does. It's one of those, am I really like lying? And we know that person hasn't really given their life to Jesus. There's no documentation or testimony from friends or family. This person was a God-fearing person. It breaks my heart. But you have to be, as a good minister, a comfort to the family. It sure is nice, though, when you know that person was right on, working their way. Not perfect, but right on. Understood that Jesus was the way. And this is why this verse is so good. In John 14, before I read it, you know the setting so clearly. We've been in John. In the Gospel of John, there's 21 chapters. And the first 10, basically, are all his whole life leading up to the final week. And then the final week is the balance, all 11 chapters. Wonder what God is interested in telling you. The last week of his life, from triumphal entry to the Last Supper to his mock trial and death to his resurrection. And he told the disciples in this setting of chapter 13 in the upper room, I am leaving you, fellas. And they are crushed. And he says, it's to your advantage I'm going. Well, no way. They're bummed. We thought you were the hope of the world. And they were hurting, because how could somebody opens the eyes of the blind, how could you going away be to our advantage? How could somebody who multiplies fish and loaves be to our advantage? You check out. Here, how could somebody who resurrects dead people be to our advantage that you leave? So they're hurting, and listen to what he says in John 14, verse 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And when everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. Check that out for a moment. It's a great passage. One of my favorite sayings of heaven is, in my Father's house, my Father's home. Isn't that a great description of heaven? Come on. Everybody needs to have a good home somewhere. And that's a great one. If you take a look, it says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I like the assurance that Jesus is. I just kind of like people that, man, tell me the way it is. Don't flip on me. The assurance, if it weren't so, I would have even brought it up. Then he says this, he says, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. What's Jesus doing right now? I'm sure he's preparing for all of you. He wants you to be reestablished with him. You and I know we're not destined to be here forever. It's kind of like we're passing on through. And he's preparing a place. And he says, I will come and get you. Kind of like a threat, huh? I'm going to come and get you, man. Oh, yeah. safe passage. Who's going to come and get you? Jesus. I'm going to come and get you so that where I am, that's where you're going to be also. That's glory. When I read the book of Revelation, and it says that the Lamb illuminates everything. There's no sun, there's no moon, no need, because the glory of Jesus drives out all shadows. Whoa. I'd like to see that. How about you? I'm looking forward to it. That's a pretty bright place. And when we take a look here, we have, as our notes, we have an eternity to look forward to. And finally, I just want to add, we have a relationship to look forward to too. I think that's probably one of the great joys of being able to experience with us together, is that we can have a relationship with Jesus. And you find that great sweetness of enjoying a relationship with other like-minded people that say, man, I found what I was looking for in Jesus. If you read John 14, go further to verse 6, you know that's where Jesus tells the crew, hey, you want to come with me? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And I just got to tell you, it's amazing. Certainly hear people that when Jesus says, I am the truth, that really means truth that is opposed to the illusion of truth. There's a lot of people that think they're actually speaking truth. Here's some of those that they really think, and I wish it was right. I wish that it was true. Here's some things I've heard people that say. Well, they say, well, you know what? I believe that we are all God's, and one day we'll all be forgiven. And I wish that was true. But if that's true, then Jesus is a liar. And I've heard people say, but God's a good God. He's never going to send anyone to hell. Man, I wish that was true. I really do. But when I read the word, it says something different. Then as people that would come along and say, I think everyone believes in the very same God. We just give him a different name. We worship in different styles. So it really doesn't matter because we all end up at the same place. That sounds so good. I want that to be true. I really want that to be true. But if that was true, then Jesus would be a liar. So it's important that we get a chance. And there are people that say, well, I think as long as we make an effort, Pastor Paul, I think that'll God will consider that, and he'll probably let us in. Man, I wish that was true, too. I've heard those things. And what do you tell them? It's like, man, but Jesus came, not just to say this is another approach. This is the only approach. I want to invite you right now. Wouldn't it be great? God in his great love for us, he really has offered to so many people. We see it so often. He says, if you just give me your life, I'll take your mess and give you a miracle. Don't you love that? I just love that line. And he's ready to do it right now. I'm going to invite you to go ahead and just close your eyes with me. Let me thank the Lord first of all. Lord, thank you for the way that you're working in our world and reminding us on a day we get to tell the story that people everywhere need a spiritual resurrection. So, Lord, I'm praying that those that need that born-again experience will surrender their lives to you. Lord, that they would accept you and receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Lord, I pray for those too, especially those who are watching online. They've made a decision about you years ago, but something's just come along and life lacks purpose and direction, and they're uncertain and they're wandering. Lord, I pray that they make a decision to say, I want to come reestablish my life with you. I'm going to lead us in a prayer right now, and I welcome you to pray this prayer. It really is just that, Lord, I receive you. I desire you in my life. And for the sake I believe a number of us, let's all pray this prayer out loud so nobody feels singled out. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, let's try it again. Dear Jesus, I believe in you that you are the Savior of the world and that you died for me. and that you rose again for me. And right now, dear Lord, I ask you, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I trust you, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven with you. Oh, dear Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Not what I want. I'm turning it all over to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I want you to just keep your eyes closed for a moment, just for a moment. You know, as a pastor, we're also called overseers, and it's always important that I would at least know when somebody prayed that prayer for the first time to receive Christ, and that you would just take a moment, just raise your hand, say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Would you just slip your hand up and say, I ask Christ to come into my life right now. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Awesome. Thank you for that. Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else want to say, I prayed that prayer. I meant it. Today's that day. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Thank you. And there's also another question, and that's one that you've prayed that prayer before, but you know also you need to recommit your life. That means, man, I just need to trust him fully, and I'm coming all the way back to live for him. Are you out there as well? Would you raise your hand as well? Thank you. Awesome. Sweet. Sweet. Thank you. Put those hands down. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to go ahead and look up at me. I want to appreciate that. Take a look at the 16 hands that have gone up. And 7 of you, we're going to believe for the first time. But I want you to know this is a big day. Jesus said in Luke 15:7, when one person turns their life around and comes to him, all the angels in heaven rejoice. That's a big deal. It's a big deal. That means the cross and resurrection is still alive today. And your invitation, you took advantage of. You who are watching via live stream, thanks for journeying with us the whole time. It would be really, really good. You do one of two things. Tell somebody at that Easter meal or going through Chipotle checkout, I gave my life to Jesus. It's going to be important that you tell somebody to seal that deal, because with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. But for the rest of us, it's a beautiful day. It's worth singing about. I want to just invite you at this time. Would you go ahead and stand to your feet? We want to, before we pray you off a blessing, we want to just sing our way to that joyful happiness. Praise God for each and every one of you. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.